brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone.
Me too.
Every person and everybody.
Oh, not me.
And Dave.
Oh.
Welcome to ya.
Welcome to ya.
She's not even close, Mike. I love it. She's like
this guy.
Double thumbs down.
Oh, my God. Here we are, folks, for another sud segment where we feel that good beer is best when paired with bad accents, and we know that Mike knows about those, and long belches.
Can now add Delaware to his long list of terrible accents.
I am one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me at the table today is good old boy Mike.
You know, I was really trying, and that is probably a theme.
Is that what that is?
Yes. He was really trying. That's probably what they're going to say at the end. It was a good effort.
Yeah.
I love him very much.
Okay.
Aunt Martha. He was good.
Reverend Mark, hello.
Hello. It's so good to be here and to be talking about these great beers.
Good old girl, Kat.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that was a lot.
Yeah.
I'm excited to have another remotely girl close at the table. Yeah.
We've got happy about Mike. Me.
Who's that?
Mike's different.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Oh, my gosh. Really?
Good old boy Dave. Hi.
Hey, take it easy, man.
Getting a little worked up here. We got to calm down.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. We need to bring the energy down on this show. Oh. Low.
I got that.
Yeah.
Slow and low.
That's right.
All right, guys. Okay.
We're not trying to be entertaining here. All right.
Apparently not. Okay. Today's episode is a brewery takeover of First State Brewing Company in Middletown, Delaware. Reverend Mark and good old gal Kat stopped by the brewery on a recent road trip to Delaware. And they're going to tell us a bit about their experience there as we go along today. But first, good old boy Dave, why don't you give us some background on First State? just don't.
No, enunciate. We have to tell them what he. No, seriously, it's a typo. It's okay. Frist. It's so, Frist State. So, it's frustrating, Dave. Go ahead. Tell them about Frist State.
Welcome to Tennessee.
You know, it could be Fist State.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to take you to Fist State.
Fist State.
You tell me which finger you're going to be using.
So this is from their marketing specialist, Jeff Horn. Founded in 2014, but only opened in 2020. First State Brewing Company, owned by Paul Hester, is dedicated to crafting a variety of superior quality beers and ciders. Hester got his start home brewing, and over a span of 7 years, spent his time researching and studying the craft. In our first year open, we began distribution to three states, Delaware, Maryland, and what's that other one? Pennsylvania.
Yay!
We produced approximately 1,100 barrels, filled over 100,000 cans.
Who told you I like it in the can?
Recently received our federal winery license to begin producing craft ciders and started our barrel aging program in 2022. This guy has no idea about punctuation. In 2022, we hope to improve our craft cider offerings, continue distribution into new areas, as well as increased volume for our barrel aging program.
Such a difficult process for Dave. Copy, paste, read.
Listen to Mike. That last part.
Yeah, Jeff, it's not your fault.
Yeah, Jeff, it's not your friggin' email that jacked it all up, buddy. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Because we'll never get a beer in Delaware again.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You
can
get some Natty Bow from Maryland, you'll be all right.
Ain't that the truth. Okay. Reverend Mark, why don't you give us today's lineup?
Okay, great. Today, the First State Brewing Company lineup of beers that we'll be discussing and tasting are these. Lost Ubiquity, a New Zealand Pilsner. Triple Beaming, a Belgian-style triple. Black Lotus, a coffee stout. Cosmic Imbalance, a hazy IPA with milk sugar. And Stellar Entanglement, a DDH hazy IPA. I'm getting tongue tied.
A double
dry hopped hazy DIPA, DIPA. I know what this means too, because
you call it some Dave-itis.
Yeah.
Let me cut your sample cups in half.
Yeah.
Specimen cups?
Yes. Well, yeah, okay.
I'm drinking this out of a sippy cup today.
Why, thank you very much for that. And this lineup sounds stellar.
Yes.
It is stellar.
Cosmic. It is stellar.
And cosmic. Yes. And all the otherworldly things. All right. Good old boy, Mike. Why don't you give us today's Suds ratings?
We will be discussing and rating these beers with these Suds ratings, plus our signature belting sounds. Here are those ratings now. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Number two, was that a belch from Dave? Number three, what a relief from Dave.
I sense a theme.
Number four, a body should really not make that sound. Like Dave. Number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Dave.
Mercy.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, that one hurt.
I mean, like, that one hurt it just goes on and on. I hope they're having a good time when they do that.
I am also going to be bringing us fun facts about Delaware during this episode, and I'm going to kick one off now.
Oh, please.
Do you know that Delaware has the largest population of horseshoe crabs in the world? It is estimated that they predate the dinosaurs by more than 200 million years. The blood of these creatures is used by medical researchers to test intravenous drugs, vaccines, and medical devices.
So what you mean is Delaware is a great place to catch crabs?
That's correct. Thank you, Dave. Right. That is the kind of value add that no other beer show can bring on the planet, people.
Oh. And then they can come up with a pharmaceutical to help you out afterwards.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Crabs are good.
Gotta get one of those.
It's all inclusive. It's all inclusive.
You got to get one of those little combs. You know?
Okay, let's get on to the beer. First up for bids is going to be Lost Ubiquity, New Zealand Pilsner. Clocking in at 5.5% ABV. Are you feeling lost in the ubiquitous world of bland Pilsners? Get ready for our twist on the classic, exclusively featuring hops grown and harvested in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Including Matuka, Southern Cross, and Waimea?
Waimea.
Waimea. Why always Mia?
Okay.
Yeah.
I like this beer. It's nice.
It's like a...
We're slurping.
A melon that's been left outside too long, you know, where you're catching so much of the rind bitterness in a honeydew. That is the very first thing that's just jumping out and attacking at you, is that intense bitterness. It is the Waimea hop that really kind of has that signature element about it. I think it just obliterates everything else that's going on. Not a fan.
Does it finish this way, though? I think it's kind of crushable.
Okay, it is, and it's very crisp. I mean, pilsners, you know, are crispy critters, and this is that.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just a little confused about the hop choice.
I don't think the grain bill holds up to the hops.
Yeah.
Is maybe what it is. Like they went a little aggressive hopping. Because you want a pilsner to be crisp and bright with a bounce, but should be balanced with the grain and the.
Well, this feels like a bold, bad experiment that went horribly wrong. You know, like this is the newest toy on the block.
I don't think
look
it's
at these hops from New Zealand.
I don't think it's a great New Zealand pilsner. I've had a couple,
yeah,
but I don't think it's. I don't think horrible is the word.
In the New Zealand pilsner is cup? Really
yeah.
because of the hops itself
yeah.
that's added to it. So would the base beer itself be like a Czech pilsner?
I think we should just back off these a little bit. Yeah. I know what you're saying, Reverend Mark.
Yeah, I mean, for me, pilsner, I'm always looking for just a really simple,
straightforward
hop bill. Yeah, yeah. A Saaz hop. That's it.
Yeah. What do you think, Kat?
It's bright. It's light. It's not one of my favorites.
See? Cool. That's what I like about her. She can hate beers just with me.
But that's what she said about you.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Wow.
I like it.
It's yeah. kind of meh, isn't it? I mean.
Yeah.
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 Whatever.
Yeah, I would have like half a glass of this and be done. Yeah.
Okay. The Lost Ubiquity, we are going to rate a 2.
That just means there's nowhere to go but up.
And we will be back with more here.
More fun facts. Fun facts. Fun facts. Fun facts.
In just a minute.
The facts are fun. And the beer is too.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. So today is a brewery takeover of First State Brewing Company in Middletown, Delaware. We just finished our first beer. And what was that you said? Go to Mike, you had a fact?
Yes, we have another fun fact. And it sets in with the theme of what we're having here because this is a stellar fun fact.
Ooh.
Yeah, how about that? Mm-hmm. Without any sound effects or a rim shot.
Dude, did that need a sound effect? I don't think so. I mean, it carried so well by itself.
Did you know that Annie Jump Cannon, born in Dover, classified more than 225,000 stars? She classified stars according to their temperature. She also is the first woman.
Did she take their temperature?
I don't think she went around the galaxy. Yeah. Yes. She was also the first woman to become an officer in the American Astronomical Society. Wow.
Huh. Wow.
Think about that super fun fact while you're drinking beer from
the AAS.
You know, that is from space.
The eyes.
Yeah.
And beer from the First State.
For First State.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. You can probably see a lot of stars in Delaware because there's, you know.
Could probably see a better fun fact.
Not a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Not a lot of ambient smog.
Right. You know.
Yeah. It's everybody has to have a goal.
It's untainted.
They're working on it.
But you are willing.
Oh, boy. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about triple beaming. It is a Belgian style triple. 9% ABV.
Now, I am sitting next to the maker of the all-encompassing best triple on the planet. Mm. So good luck.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Aromatic, spicy, and fruity. Let's raise a tulip glass to triple beaming, their Belgian-style triple. Prominent yeast character and delicate use of lemon drop and tetanang hops create a beautiful beer.
All right. So let's let Reverend Mark kind of talk about the style and give us his impression.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, for me, I prefer a triple that is more on the dry and spicy side, and this tends to be, this does have some good spice to it. I do think it's a little more sweet than typically I go for.
Like in the mid palate.
But it is, it still, I think, is on the continuum of what qualifies as a basic triple. I think it's really got good balance.
It's not quite dry enough for you, though?
But that's me. And so, yeah, moist. You know, and some people like it the other way.
Moist.
You know.
Cad doesn't know that is the most offensive word in the English language, is the word.
Moist.
Correct. Yes. Moist. That is from our absolutely stellar research department that comes up with... You know, just those facts.
It's the same place where all the fun facts come
absolutely,
from.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. It's a small guy in Canada. You know?
But I will also say with this one, because I had a couple of samples of this before I drove here, Ossifer, and and it does with warmth.
Well, I was going to say this is one of those where you don't necessarily want to have it cold.
No.
You want to let it kind of come up. And I think that's in part of the tulip glass where you generally have one of these. It kind of lets things open up and really you get the full aroma and let all the little bits and pieces kind of come out and do their thing.
So I like, to me, it's not a cloyingly sweet Belgian type beer.
Yeah.
You know, like you find with some, especially with the strong goldens on the market. So I thought it was, on the mark.
I like this because it again, I think based on what you just said, like really cloyingly sweet, and a lot of true Belgian triples are really like over the top to me, and it's a little bit strong for my poor little American boy flavors. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate this because it's kind of toned down. It's about where I want it to be.
Yeah, I mean one of the benchmarks that I go by, and it's an old standard, is Carmelite. And to me, that because it's a little bit more on the spice side.
Yeah. There's more white peppercorn, you know, on Carmelite. Yeah.
What do you think, JB?
I like it. It's a little refrained. I also I'm kind of happy about the fact that a brewery is putting out a triple.
Yeah.
Especially something that's in the Mid-Atlantic region. Well, yes, in a can too, but also in the Mid-Atlantic region, I'm thinking about all these like hazy IPAs and, you know, hop balmy type of juicy, citrusy things.
Right.
To have this in their arsenal, I think is really, really nice. Also makes me wonder what kind of food they're pairing with this as well to have a triple in their arsenal. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's really nice though. Really, really nice.
They have a really, great scratch kitchen, and every day there's something new coming out of the kitchen as well as what's on their standard menu. So, they I will have to say that you go there locally, and they go out of their way to be doing a lot of really good pairings with all their beers.
Good.
Sure. And being in Delaware, you're so close to the shore. You're getting a lot of seafood, and I could see this pairing well with so many things. Kat, what do you think about this one?
I agree. I think it would pair with pretty much anything. I do taste the peppery, and it's not overly sweet. I'd buy it.
Yeah. And that's a hard balance there. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Really nice. So we are going to rate the triple beaming from First State a resounding 4.
Nice.
Great beer.
Yeah, so, so good.
May I have another?
I know, right?
It's time for a fun fact, fun fact, fun, fun fact,
fact, fun fact, fun fact. Fun fact from
Delaware. Pea Patch Island in Delaware was named when a ship was carrying peas ran aground and lost its cargo, which actually sprouted new pea plants. That's why it's called Pea Patch Island.
Yeah, Mike's got a pea patch on the front of his pants. Mm.
Too many beers.
Cut Dave's salary.
Yeah. Okay.
Our new sponsor depends.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Did you get that, Siri?
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Let's talk about another beer. Let's go to Black Lotus Country, which is their coffee stout. And it's the darkest one of the bunch. Yeah.
Is that racist? Feels racist.
Yeah. 7% ABV. Don't talk to me until I've had my Black Lotus, our freshly brewed coffee stout, aged on Nicaraguan coffee from their friends at Little Goat.
Man, Little Goat's everywhere. You can't go anywhere without tasting a Little Goat.
And Little Goat is based out of Newark, Delaware, as opposed to Newark, New Jersey. This beer features notes of coffee, dark chocolate, and latte, reminiscent of coffee and cream with a smidge of lactose added for a creamy mouthfeel.
I hope it's just a smidge.
Thing it reminded me of was a...
Wow, that aroma.
A chocolate root beer Tootsie Roll. It's very sweet, you know, on the front end, and has the dark roast malt is a thing. It's very forward in this flavor profile.
Yeah, and it doesn't have the ubiquitous pastry thing going on.
Hello. Step up to the mic.
Are you experienced?
That was well said, Reverend Mark.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
I really like talking
radio show with Mark microphones
on the show. Yeah.
Hey, I just had to put my head out the window for a minute.
He was getting some fresh air. He thought he was in Delaware again.
This
kind
of
right?
reminds me of one of those cold brew coffee drinks.
Yeah.
But I like the aroma on it a lot. It's very coffee forward to me.
I don't know. This tastes like a swing and a miss. This feels like something had a plan and it all just didn't come together. You know?
Yeah, I wonder about that. It doesn't strike me as I taste it as a higher alcohol beer than it really reports to be, which is a 7%. Does it it doesn't really warm me like a 7% would. Yeah.
What do you think, JB?
You know, I love stouts. I love making stouts. They're like one of my favorite things in the universe. But I like the complexity of a lot. And this one just to me is kind of just two dimensional.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
it's coffee, which is there and that's great. And there's that creaminess, but I'm not getting anything else out of a stout that I guess I was hoping that I would. You know, just another little layer or two to round this out.
To me, the flavor doesn't bother me as much as the body. Like, I just feel like there's not enough, viscosity.
It's thin in the middle. The sugars are, they're kind of in the background here. Yeah. And it feels the intensity of the dark malt is so forward. It doesn't leave a lot of room for anything else that would have happened after that.
And it's almost like the dark malt and the coffee
are fighting with each other.
Well, and they're taking over.
Yeah.
And like there's not enough anything else to kind of balance it out.
They're absolutely not in harmony. They're absolutely fighting with each other all day long.
What do you think, Kat?
Well, there's definitely a lot of flavor, but it's not as full as
it's
I was
not
hoping.
The right flavor.
The flavors are good,
yeah,
but it's just not as full.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I will confess, we actually had a barrel aged bourbon, coffee stout on the episode right before we're recording this one, And so I'm guilty of saying I'm comparing it, you know, to that other
one. It's hard
one.
Not to, though.
Yeah, because we just, you know, it was in the same, you know, period of time. And this one is just a dwarf, you know, of what we had.
This
and
is almost like if someone made a light stout, like a light coffee stout, like you're trying to make a low body or light body.
No, I like, you know, how you were saying it's just a cold brew that's gone wrong, you know, is a good way of describing this. Yeah. You know, I would say go back to the drawing board, you know, make something different, better.
Well, I think pump up some of the base malts a little more, maybe back off a little bit some of the dark.
You need a touch of sugar.
I think so. And it, as a home brewer in this brewery originated, you know, out of a home brewer's dream, which I love, is that, you know, they need to tweak this a little bit more. I think it needs to be have a little bit more malt behind it.
Yep.
They mentioned how that they gave a smidge of lactose to not make it cloyingly sweet, and it's not that. I really think that if it had a little bit more milk sugar in it,
yep,
that might even it would, be better. It might it would even
provide
be better.
More body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, or you could just not do any lactose, which is always ideal.
Always a very excellent idea.
And like back off the dark malt in the coffee a little bit, maybe, and just bump up the base malts a little.
Right.
Ferment a little bit higher, and I think you get a better beer. But
Yeah. And sometimes I wonder if the coffee that's put in to something like this, you know,
right
if
coffee.
You don't, right, you know, mm-hmm. because I'm tasting an overwhelming amount of coffee. It's not only on the aroma, but I just feel like it's a little out of balance with the coffee.
Should have gone with something that would have been a lot more floral.
Sanka?
Nescafe?
It's not so much a Nicaraguan as a bad choice. It's just, I think whatever the bean variety, if they've gone with something that had been a lot more floral and not so intensely bitter, it wouldn't have been fighting with the dark malt, which it really is.
It is fill just, it to the rim.
It is with absolutely, brim. You know, an arm wrestle job and losing badly.
Yeah, and I know that coffee will also give you a certain kind of acidity that
coffee will also make you kind of have to go too. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. We are going to rate the Black Lotus Coffee Stout from First State A2. Okay.
Oh. What time is it?
It's time for fun facts.
Fun facts on Delaware.
Facts that are fun.
Dave, did you know that Delaware is the third most bike-friendly state in the U.S.?
I had no idea about that.
Like, did as in that? Motorcycle bike?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As in bicycle bike?
Bicycle bike.
Bicycle.
They have the third fewest people who are knocked off the road on their bicycle by a motorist who doesn't like bicycles on the road.
I have another quick one here. Did you know that...
I wonder if they're fans of Queen then.
Delaware actually was the linchpin in the American independence. So they were actually the deciding vote for American independence was actually cast by Caesar Rodney, who had to ride 80 miles to Philadelphia through the rain and the thunder in order to cast the deciding vote.
Wow.
And his bare feet.
Yes. I wonder if he had
going
a good,
uphill.
I wonder if he had a good beer with him.
Caesar Rodney.
It sure wasn't that stout. Yeah.
Tell you that. It's good in coffee.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay, I got a question. Kat, when you go home to Delaware, mm-hmm. what is something that like is there a food that you always have to go for?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
Cassapola subs.
Excuse you?
Cassapola.
Okay.
Cassapola subs. And of course, Maryland blue crabs.
Is that the, is that wit on top?
No, that's Philly. That's fighting words.
I was just waiting for her to stab me after
that's
I said
fighting
that.
Words.
You already don't know how to say thank you. Yeah. Now you're doing
thank
this.
Thank you. Yes. Just digging the hole deeper, Dave. That's all I'm doing.
So, what
man.
Is it about the Cassapola subs?
They're loaded. It's not a sandwich. It is a loaded sub. The bread is crisp on the outside and soft on the inside, and just all these Italian meats and Italian cheeses. It's to die for.
So is it's one of those local places that
Yes, I went to school with the Cassapulas.
So, is it like, you know, the Philly Sub experience where you have to have like a certain language to order correctly? You know, are there hand gestures? Do you have to have a certain article of clothing?
No, but in Philly, you got the cheesesteak, and yep. The cheesesteak started out with provolone cheese,
correct.
And then they got lazy and cheap and started doing the cheese whiz,
right? Yeah.
So Delawareans don't put cheese whiz on their cheesesteaks.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Fair enough.
The right. way yep. God meant it exactly. to be.
That's right.
So just a good, fresh Italian sub, it sounds like.
Yes. And we have our local bakeries.
Red wine vinegar?
It's olive oil. Real olive high oil. Quality okay. olive oil.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sweet.
Just want to know where I'm going.
The pickles and the pepper give it that vinegary taste.
Oh, yeah, okay. in the bakery, that's the...
The bakery is, it's all in Delaware.
Oh, so a local bakery.
Yes. Yep.
You know, yeah. So the bread makes it all really work
The bread
here.
Is the key.
Is the key yes, component. It is.
Well, there's something about, you know, water from like, you know, the Eastern Seaboard kind of area where...
Mid-Atlantic.
It's just different. Whatever. Well, but it's east of here and it's by the ocean. So I'm saying seaboard. So whatever.
That's why the bagels are so good.
I'm from Tennessee. Yeah. I don't give a crap. All right. We got limestone in our water.
You like white bread?
That's right.
He knows no other.
White bread, sad. Cornbread.
He's a good old boy.
That's right.
God bless it. Yes. Okay. Shall we move on to another one? Shall we do a cosmic imbalance?
Mm. We're going to have to go right to ludicrous speed.
Okay.
Or we can vamp and do another fun fact.
Let's do a fun fact. It's fun fact time.
All right. So 7 of the Delaware's 74 governors to date. Man, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
How many of those have you dated? 7?
I don't know. Just under 10%. So 7 of Delaware's 74 governors have come from Milford City, not home to where the sub place is.
Sounds like it's rigged.
They include Ruth Ann Miner, who served as the first female governor of the state.
And the first miner.
Milford was the contributed to power elsewhere, being home to the largest solar harnessing farm in Delaware. How do you harness solar? You stand on top of the roof with a big rope and go, come here, son.
You got to lure it in.
You know, you what do you do with that?
Sugar cubes.
You give it beer.
You give it beer. Yeah, I like that.
Well, we'll be back with more from First State in just a minute. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Delaware, be nice to your
Welcome
sister.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah. And your mother.
Wow.
Okay. We're talking about
Uncle Daddy. Oh,
we are talking about how much we love Delaware and
how much Delaware loves each other.
And we're talking about First State Brewing Company. And we're doing this brewery takeover.
There's no way out of this hole.
But one can try.
That's what she
need more beer. So, they cosmic imbalance.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's get to another beer from First State Brewing Company. What we're going to talk about is cosmic imbalance.
We've got a lot of that going on.
There's
right
a lot
now.
Of imbalance. Mm-hmm.
A lot of imbalance going on in this conversation.
It's a hazy IPA with milk sugar.
Yeah,
6% ABV. This one's for the hype boys and girls who love their milkshake IPAs. I'm sure there's a song about milkshake IPAs.
Happy, happy,
for this unique
joy,
brew, they selected a characterful hops, characterful hops of Lotus.
Is that a word?
Mandarina, Bavaria, and Citra. Mm. Think tropical with orange, tangerine, grapefruit, and even vanilla.
Mm. Yeah, there's vanilla.
A lot of vanilla.
Welcome to a bad idea.
All right.
This really does strike me as an orange creamsicle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, oh, it smells it on. Too.
An orange creamsicle.
Is, this is the first one of the beers where the milk sugar really.
Yeah.
Like, they might have.
Very forward. It could use like half or whatever.
It's overload.
I think the guy like caught a hole in the bag and he forgot he was.
I think this is milk sugar with a hazy IPA. But, I think they need to reverse that around.
But you know that.
And it's not even super hazy either. No. I mean, it's.
It's not a hazy boy.
But the taste memory is taking me back to, like, you know, my childhood when I would wave the ice cream truck down in our neighborhood and say, give me one of those orange creamsicles.
Well, come around the back of the truck, Timmy.
Yeah.
I think I had it in a baby bottle.
I think I've got it in my pocket
here. We'll get this special ice cream for you.
Ew. Oh.
Banned once again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. I mean, this one's... this one, I think they went a little too hard with the lactose.
Yeah, well, it really is super forward in this, and you know, I think it strikes me as one of those things where it is the grand bold experiment, you know, with lactose that
now
really can't quite figure out the balance components, you know, around this.
Now, let me just say, like, we are all probably about twice the average age of the folks who really love the milkshake.
I thought you were going to say curb
Speak
weight
for
there.
Yourself. You
know? Sorry. Sorry. Everyone except Kat, who is half the age of the average lactose lover. But I mean, I think in the other beers, even though there was lactose, there was some restraint, right? And it might not have been the best or, you know, this or that, but this one, they went all in, you know, like, we're going balls out. And
I just don't think it's working. You know, we've had a lot of things that have been chasing this flavor profile, and this is just a stunning miss.
Well, they did call it cosmic imbalance.
I call
it. Okay, so, I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah. They called it.
I think they need to call it a bad idea. And, you know, I'm not a fan of this at all.
Yeah, and I think sometimes our breweries are really being, you know, put in a position where we're kind of like the tail wagging the dog. It's like, what's the public really like? Let's do something to make
the crowd wants.
And I just say, forget about the crowd.
Yeah.
And let's just,
Well, I'll tell you, you know,
everyone's taste is different.
You make other great beer. You should have stuck with that. And
Well, so, you know, like, they're not too far from Philly, right? So where.
Or New Jersey.
Well, no, what I was going to say is where.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
Where Tired Hands is. And that's like the inventor of milkshake IPAs.
Very true.
So a lot of people around
this
there
is
maybe,
not even remotely close to anything in Tired Hands. So
no, but that's where the kind of the milkshake IPA was invented. So if a lot of people are really into that, they're just trying to get onto it, you know.
Sure.
I don't think they hit it, but I'm not giving them an out. But what do you think, JB? Go ahead.
It's just, it's so vanilla. It's
and they use Madagascar, which is like the premium vanilla, which is very interesting.
I'd say give me the vanilla.
Just get give me a cream ale, like you know, if we're gonna,
you know, and that's a good point. That I think that needs to be introduced. I love the just cream ale, but a cream ale is a good two dimensional beer when beers need to be two dimensional.
Right. And a nice vanilla cream ale is really nice and pleasing.
Yep.
This, I just feel like it's fighting, because when I think of a hazy IPA, I think of something that's like orange, juicy, you know, citrusy. And I'm really not getting much citrus. I'm just getting vanilla that almost tastes kind of fake.
I don't get any spit things
a bitterness at the end that just doesn't match it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It's very disjointed.
Yeah. Kat, what do you think?
I agree. It's like a milkshake. Milky and vanilla be good in a baby bottle.
right? I mean, no.
Reverend Mark, that's what you're getting later when you go home. When she has to put you down for your nap.
I know all this is going to go in the end. No, he likes the hazy IPA with milk stout. With the sippy cup? With straw.
And we're going to go. We're not going with what you're saying.
Ooh. We are going to rate the cosmic imbalance a 2. Okay.
Mike gave it the old one finger salute.
Same. Yeah. There were some other choices.
The special one.
Special.
Okay.
They're number one.
Let's talk about stellar entanglement.
Oh,
I'm sensing a theme here. So this is a double dry hopped hazy double IPA. This one is 8% ABV.
Now this
take a journey through space time and sip amongst the stars with their stellar entanglement, their double dry hopped hazy double IPA with Amarillo, Citra, Mosaic hops that collide to create a cosmic convergence of orange, grapefruit, mango, and tropical flavors.
Definitely grapefruit.
Definitely grapefruit.
I like these hops. I mean, those are some of my favorite
Amarillo's
hops.
Amarillo's nice. Yep. It's good bittering.
It's a good grounding
it
hop.
It lays the groundwork, like you said. You know, I like this beer.
I do too.
This one.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot closer to chasing a common, you know, taste profile with definitely the, you know, the grapefruit is very forward. That sweet fruit, like the mango thing is... really very close behind the grapefruit itself. I like how this is finishing out. That's the thing I probably like about this beer the best, is that this it's a bitter finish on the back end of this, and it's actually quite good. I have to say, I'm not like,
wait, did Mike just say he likes something?
Well, I'm not a fan of how it starts. Recording? I love the mid palate. I love how this finishes out. And I like the fact that it seems closer to style. So if I walked in and said, you know, I'm looking for a double dry hop hazy IPA, I totally buy this. This is definitely a style.
I'm digging this.
I'm just shocked Mike likes something.
I'm sorry.
And I get a lot of strong tropical notes on the nose, which means it's been, you know, dry hopped in a good way. I think for those who are crazy about hazy, this is a good one.
But this is, okay, in terms of classic hazy IPAs that have been like New England, you know, type of things for a while, this ranks up with there. I mean, you're getting grapefruit, you're getting citrusiness, you're also getting a little creaminess on there, and lots of flavor.
And you get a little bitter on the back.
Yeah, and a little bitter just to balance it out. Yes. Right. No, this is as
like
advertised.
Like Kat said, if she wanted to drink orange juice, she'd drink orange juice.
That's right.
But this is
a no flash in the pan. You know, thank you for just giving me a good solid double. Thank you for letting me walk in and see your beer and delivering exactly what I would expect.
I kind of feel like this is what the last beer could have been had they not thrown a lot of lactose in.
I would pair
it with a sub.
Oh, gosh,
There you go. Well,
that's a good damn choice. Mike's taking everybody to Delaware.
Do you put mayo on
for
some casapula?
No, mayo.
Well, I knew that there was something that was going to be.
Hell no.
Like, what'd you say? What?
That's fighting words.
Back to Jersey. Get across the river.
She almost liked you for just a minute.
I almost got out of my seat.
All right.
I guess she was going to stab me over something, but. This cat was going to be over mayo.
Cat's got claws.
No mayo.
Well, stellar entanglement, we are going to rate a 4.
Good job. I'm seeing a t-shirt for Delaware. No mayo. The land of no mayo.
No mayo.
I like that. That works pretty well. That could piss off people in Philly, quite well.
My mom was ordering subs not too long ago, and she says, they were taking her order and they're saying, what do you want on it? And she goes, you know, the usual. And they're like, well, do you want lettuce, tomato? And she goes, that's the usual. Do you want mayo or olive oil? And she says, are you kidding me?
We don't put mayo on subs.
What is wrong with you people?
Where did you come from, yeah. New Jersey?
Did you drive across? Did you drive across the bench from Jersey to work here? Because yeah. Go back. Yeah.
They have to pay to go back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have a bonus beer.
We do. Do we have a bonus?
Fun fact?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Did you pour it out?
The bonus fun fact is that Dover, Delaware, played a pivotal role in the shaping of the U.S. Constitution. The delegates from 13 original colonies often met at a pub, the Golden Fleece Tavern, to review the draft, eventually coming to the agreement in December 7th, 1787. If you're keeping track, that is 11 years of being hammered to be able to come up with the Constitution.
Hammered?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how much beer it took to come from, let's screw the British to, hey, we need to get our act together here and figure out some rights and, you know, instead of running against tyranny, we need to figure out a government. The tavern no longer stands, but there's a commemorative marker on the original site. So I just want to say that beer is the cornerstone of the U.S. Constitution.
Sure.
Heck, amen. Ale is what cures ever. You.
That's right.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If not wine, too. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if they had had the last beer we had, the Stellar Entanglement, that would have been good hope, you know? I have a feeling it was a English mild, though.
Well, fine. They didn't have Band, all
once
the-
again. Oh, my gosh, Dave.
Band, I'm sorry, Mike. Again. I don't listen when you talk.
Wow. Sound effects.
Okay.
That was worth the rim shot. It was worth a lot of things.
You know? Come on, Dave.
Off the deep end, man.
Look, man. Hey, don't become that guy. All right, we've already got that guy over there.
All right? You're slacking.
All right,
that's my job. Okay, that's
my job. Dreams. All right, let's hear it, Jamie.
All right, so we do have time for our bonus beer. Now
you shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Exactly. Okay, so one thing I will say about First State is the majority of their beer in front of us in cans is black with a like oil slick colored technicolor bedazzlement.
She is into can art, you know.
I am. I'm a girl. Yeah, I like visual.
Just, you know.
She likes great cans.
Go back and listen to the can art episode.
But then we get to this bonus beer.
Oh my gosh.
The Droid Dreams. It's an experimental sour.
Yeah, that is an experiment.
with kiwi and calamansi.
No, that's what it is.
Which is a white can with a robot on it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Calamansi, that's like a lime, right?
There's a reason
it's
for
like
that.
Kind of like a lime.
It's very limey. Yeah.
So late at night, while the brewers dreamed of brewing clean lagers and classic IPAs, something in the brewery began to stir. From gaskets and tri-clamps to hoses and kegs, a little spark of life filled with what once was inanimate. Introducing the First State Brewing Droid, KV-1N. That's his name. With his sense of whimsy around, he knew the first thing he wanted to do was brew his very own beer. And for hops, he picked out experimental HBC 630 and Strata, known for their complex notes of raspberry, cherry, strawberry, peach, and passion fruit. And to finish out this experiment, he added a healthy portion of kiwi and calamansi to the beer, giving it a tart tropical citrus finish. This is 6% ABV.
Mm. Greetings, I am the Osmo 4000.
Cartman.
You know, I think the thing that's hitting me with this beer is that I have never had anything quite like this.
No, this is different.
I have to say, this is probably, wow. I mean, literally after, you know, having thousands of beers, I mean,
it's just so satisfying.
Oh my God.
It reminds me of the Brock's candies that I used to give my grandmother at Christmas time. It used to be in a candy dish. There was one in there that was green. It was lime. And this is it in a glass.
But it's a very unique lime.
It is. It Wow.
It is a unique kind of lime.
Yeah. Do you unique up on it?
I like this for the novelty of it probably more than anything. Yeah. I know we're almost out of time here.
It's subtle. It's pretty nice. I enjoy it.
I'm not a sour person.
No.
Well.
Okay. Well, minus that, we're going to rate this a 3 because this is...
You should give this a whirl. Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, you should. Right, because it's not super sour.
Yeah, no.
It's not super sweet tart, like getting all the...
It's a different kind of sour.
Yeah. But really nice.
Yeah.
In a way.
Thank you for having something that was different.
Wow. Well, that's going to do it for today, folks. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Good old boy, Mike.
Hey, thanks for joining us here at Sip, Suds, and Smokes once again. Come back and join us next week. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Reverend Mark.
So good to be here to just share what we love and to help you enjoy it more with knowledge about what good beer's about.
Good old girl Kat, thanks so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you. I appreciate it and loved sipping with you all.
Go to boy Dave.
Hey, since Mike wouldn't tell anybody, Bob Marley lived in Delaware for 12 years, okay? We lived in Delaware for 12 freaking years, okay?
Yay.
The godfather
of reggae. It's going to be all right.
This is Good Old Gal Juliana. Thank you so much for joining us today. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.